Good morning.
I will be reading Romans 12, 4 through 9. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
That message, that scripture spoke so much about when we went to Santa Marta. I was part of Sarah's children's ministry team. Rancho Santa Marta has a school that ministers to about 150 children with learning disabilities. And it also has four homes for children that were abandoned or orphaned. So our team was made up of Sarah, Sally, Brucey, Mindy, and Sandra McIntosh, who was our interpreter, and myself. And each morning we visited three of the nine classes in the school. Sarah spoke about the uniqueness of each child and each person and how special they were to God. And then they each did a self-portrait on a quilt square that was actually from our quilting group. And they took so much time to really focus and draw themselves. And they drew themselves very happy, playing basketball or soccer, beautiful hair, hearts and flowers, and it was incredible how much joy they had. And then we took these squares, and then Mindy and Brucey sewed them up with cloth provided by our boutique and made them all into one big quilt. We even encouraged the teachers to make their own self-portraits too. And when we delivered them to the classes, they were just so thrilled to see themselves and see themselves as part of God's whole body too. After that, in the afternoons, we would visit one home each time. There were two homes for boys and two homes for girls. And Sarah shared how God's love each one of them, and they were God's treasure. And then they got to make these treasure boxes, which with little mirrors inside, where they could open it and look at themselves and know that they were God's treasure and they were safe. And it was just so amazing to see the joy they had by using all these things that we actually just brought from our Sunday school class, from, you know, the little feathers and stuff like that. And they made beautiful boxes, and they were so joyful. And the older boys just wanted us to make pipe cleaner glasses. So some of the pictures, all these men with these pipe cleaner glasses, like just like to have them. And the older boys also just loved the playing the basketball. And all our youth kind of helped in all areas, in the classroom and in the homes, making bracelets and in the basketball court. Jordan was one of the stars, and so was Jonathan. And they all the kids just loved that. I guess given the tragic path of many of these children, I was just amazed at how well-adjusted they seemed. This was a tribute to the work of Bill and Kay Lawrence, who were the founders of this home. And more importantly, it was a testimony to the amazing healing power of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, his love that can heal the darkest, deepest wounds. And in Rancho Santa Marta, you get to see that. You get to see that healing. So we have plenty of material things, plenty of physical things that we could share with the kids and the families and the staff, but they gave back to us as part of the body of Christ because they shared a lunch with us. They made a beautiful lunch, and we got to go into their homes. And they have so much joy and love for the Lord, and they're so thankful and contented because their needs are met. They have a loving home, clean clothes, a warm bed, and satisfying food. And I was convicted that we lack this thankfulness and contentment, even though we have so much more. And from their love, it fed our hearts. They reminded me that God provides for my daily needs, and in that is my joy. And it's actually my excess that causes me grief. Because I have so many people who love me, I become critical and petty. It's because I live in a well-to-do area that then I worry about my grass not being green or my neighbors, you know, my car isn't as new as my neighbor's. It's because I have a reputation that I get prideful and I worry about people showing me up. And I felt God convict me to live more simply and then have more to give to others. So visiting Rancho Santa Marta was life-changing for me, reminding me on how awesome our Lord Jesus is, who loves everyone and can heal any heart, be it with the children at Santa Marta or with each of us at West Valley. So I encourage all of you to go to Rancho Santa Marta next year and experience the joy of giving and being given in return.
So through the scripture, it was kind of talking about we all had a path to go there. We are led to go there. I had a little trouble deciding going. The 3 weeks before, I was at baseball tryouts all week. It was hard because I was hearing from the coaches that I could get cut if I go somewhere. And it could take me off the team. It put me in a little panic because I wanted to play. Baseball is like my passion. I love playing. But the problem was I didn't want to get cut, but then I wanted to go with God down to Mexico. The Wednesday before I got cut, it kind of didn't make me mad, but I was kind of in the back of my mind. I was like, they just give up a good player. I went. And I didn't know why I wanted to go or what I was going to do. I went not knowing. I got there. We went running probably 4 out of the 6 days. One of the days, it was me and Jonathan, and we beat some other people up the hill. I beat him up the hill, and I got up there. It was just after sunrise, so it was beautiful. It was foggy down in the valley. You turned around, you saw the fog. Walked up the hill a little bit more, and you saw kind of a valley like this, with the sun just poking through it. I just got up there, and went like this. And I knew that I was there for a reason. And it was to be there with the God and to help the kids. And I just knew that I had a reason to be there. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not Jonathan Engelman, even though it says Jonathan Engelman here. Unfortunately, Jonathan was sick this morning, and we encouraged him to get up, and he tried and tried, and he said, "Dad, I just can't make it." But he did write up some thoughts, so I will be sharing his thoughts. These are not mine. These are Jonathan's. So follow along. First of all, I want to thank all of you for supporting us on this trip. Even though only 35 of us were able to go to Mexico, it never would have been possible if it weren't for your support and prayers. When I think about the scripture that talks about many members making up the body of Christ, I think about all the different ways that people served at Rancho and their varied gifts. My particular gifts is in sports, and I was able to play basketball with the kids at Rancho on a regular basis. This kind of interaction transcended the language barrier and gave us a common goal to work towards. I remember the faces of the children we played with. I remember their names and their ages. Octavio, he remembered my name from last year. And he hugged me when he saw me again, which totally surprised me. Victor barely talked because he was extremely mentally disabled, but he was part of the basketball team nonetheless. One guy who played with us just once was on the other side of the coin intellectually. This kid was in medical school. But it didn't matter how smart or what grade had been completed. What mattered was that we were all together on that court, cooperating together and loving each other in Jesus' name. This was a blessing to me, and I am grateful for this experience. When I got back to the U.S., I looked around and I thought, I don't deserve to live here. There is more opportunity, and everything is bright and clean. Yeah, as soon as you go across the border from Tijuana to San Diego, I don't know if you folks have made that journey before, but it's just the contrast is just stark. It's right there. Those are my words. Back to Jonathan. Mexico has nothing compared to the U.S. I realized when I came back how grateful I should be for all that I have. I also realized that some of the material stuff that we have gets in the way of our relationship with God and enjoying the simple things of life. Thank you so much for all your support and prayers for all of us going on this mission trip. I will never forget my experience, and I will never forget how much of a powerful influence the Holy Spirit had on my life that week. Now I'm going to transition to scripture reading, so I'm up for that. And I'll be reading for the book of Ezra, chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. And as you listen attentively, because it's very connected to the work that we did there. One of the projects was to lay down a foundation of a new home. And we'll be learning more about the details from Greg and Bruce about that after I read the scripture. But pay attention, because not only, you know, in literally the concrete, there was their foundation, but metaphorically, the foundation that was laid in our hearts, and in all of you, the foundation that lies in you with Christ. So reflect back, listen attentively to the book of Ezra, chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments, and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord, as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, "He is good. His love to Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests, Levites, and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away.
I guess I'll go first. Okay. Well, first off, I want to talk about, you've heard about the buckets. These young people that really worked their butts off this week without a complaint. There were 10 buckets of rock to be filled, 12 buckets of sand for each batch of concrete. And you saw the sandy girls and the rock girls one day. And I had other chores to do. I'm an electrician, and Mr. Bill just loved that because I could do some other things that needed to be done. And one of the days that I was doing other things, the electrical work, I was walking around the compound, going from room to room, house to house. The sandy girls were picking songs to sing back to the rock girls. And the rock girls sang songs back to the sandy girls. And you could hear this all over the compound that day. It was awesome. Even Bill said, "Boy, your guys' enthusiasm is amazing." So that was heard all the way through the compound. What I came back with for me was getting to know our group better, the people that went down, the adults and the young people. The interaction with the kids at the ranch was very, very important, as you already heard. I mean, for me, it was like stepping back into the 80s. I mean, it's just a totally different world down there, and I hope you do get the opportunity to go and experience it. One of the rooms that I worked in that I fixed the electrical was a lot of the clothes that were donated to them. They still have tags on them. It's not what you and I are wearing now. Like I said, it's like back into the 80s. It's hard to describe, but the interaction with the kids was great. Also the sense of helping out people that are less fortunate, although they don't know that they're less fortunate. That's the beauty of this. We think they're less fortunate. They think that they are just, some of them recognize where they came from, of course, but they have a good life, better than what if you go to San Vicente, the town right down the street, they're doing pretty darn good. Also witnessing what Bill and Kay have done, meeting God's mission. It's hard for me to fathom having a thought like that and to do what they've done over the period of 30, 40 years. When I first got there, Friday morning, I got up and I walked out, and I don't know what my expectation was, but it wasn't that. To see all those buildings. There's like 35 buildings on the site. And, the school rooms, the places where the people live. Awesome. Let's see. I've already mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it again. Our young people really worked hard. And if you see one of them today, tell them thank you. And it was a blessing to serve with everyone. I do want to recognize the whole group, but especially Sandy, who really took good care of us. I also want to thank, you know, when we left, you were able to pick a name out of a hat to pray for that person. I want to thank every one of those people that prayed for us. Thank you.
So I want to share with you a little bit of the magnitude of the Lost and Foundation Team project, give you some insights, and then kind of tie it back to the verses in Ezra, if I can. To give you a sense, we did, over the 4 days, about 99 loads of cement. And we started at 8 in the morning, and we had to finish by 2 because there was another 4 hours of work that had to be done to cure the cement so that it would set right and harden right. So we were out there every morning at 8 o'clock, and thank goodness for the shaka because that woke most of us up. Each of those loads, though, of cement contained 2 5-gallon buckets of water, roughly about 80 pounds. And you can see the cement mixer in some of the pictures. You had to lift it to shoulder high to dump the buckets of stuff into the mixer. Each of them, as Bruce had said, contained 5 5-gallon buckets of rock. Those weighed approximately 300 pounds in total. Each load had 100-pound bag of cement. And, you know, Bruce said that the kids worked hard. Nathan lifted probably 80% of those bags of cement. Cut them and got them in. Absolutely phenomenal to watch the next generation work. And good, because, I mean, we didn't have to work as hard. And then lastly, each of the buckets of, each of the loads contained 6 5-gallon buckets of sand, which weighed, again, approximately 300 pounds. So all totaled, we were dumping roughly 800 pounds into the cement mixer with every load. And then we would mix it, and then we would dump it into 5 wheelbarrows and carry those wheelbarrows about 40 yards down the field, up into a ramp that was uphill, and then onto the foundation. If you multiply that out, that means our kids in the Lost and Foundation team lifted about 77,220 pounds of material over the 4 days, which is phenomenal. That equates to about 38 tons of stuff, and never were they willing to give up. And it was so amazing because on the day we finished, and, you know, the second verse of the Ezra passage where it says they celebrated, we celebrated. I was honored to get the Gatorade bath from the team, which was a real surprise. And Bruce, next year. In addition to that, we kind of split it each day, but some days were busier than others. There were about 495 wheelbarrow fulls of cement that we delivered to the site. The site was about 1,700 square feet that we laid cement. Would have taken, if I figured with cement trucks, it would have taken about 2 hours to do the whole thing. It took us 4 days. I do want to recognize a couple of the teams. The surf and sand team that you've heard about lifted 15 tons of sand over the 4 days. The rock and roll team lifted the same 15 tons of rock over those four days. So it was truly a team effort, and truly an effort that could not have been accomplished by anyone individually whatsoever. The most fun that I had was on the last day, where we finally relaxed enough to let everybody kind of do different jobs. And Sandy, who's taking care of us all week long, it was the scariest thing when I'm saying, okay, the cement's ready, let's bring up a wheelbarrow, and I turn around, and there's Sandy with her wheelbarrow, ready to take 300 pounds of cement down to the site. And it was just amazing how everybody jumped in. And I also want to comment on the folks that were brave enough to actually run the cement mixer. We had a number of our team members run the cement mixer. It was great watching Cosette stand at the cement mixer, using every ounce of muscle in her arms to try to make sure that the cement mixer didn't turn over. It was great watching Julie Engelman. Most impressive, though, was Christine Fujiki, who was amazing on the cement mixer in terms of understanding how you want to get it just to the edge, but you don't want it to fall out in order to mix just right, and understanding that little advance you have to move in order to not have it spill out. Because what you're moving on the handle of the machine, because it's a little bit loose in the gear ratios, you have to do a little bit ahead of what's actually happening. And Christine got that right away. So to all of those, it was amazing. But I want to talk a little bit about the celebration. When we finished on the last day, Bill came over, and he was amazed, but he had one more project that he wanted us to try to get done that afternoon. He needed a trench 8 inches deep, dug about 20 feet between the stalls that had the rabbits and the chickens in it and the stalls that had the horses in it. And the joke was the horses couldn't make telephone calls, but the chickens could, and that was just unfair. And so they had run the telephone line above, but every time a truck would go drive through the path between the two pens, it would tear up the wire. So we wanted to sink the telephone line underground so that wouldn't happen. And I got to tell you, after doing all of this cement work on Wednesday afternoon, about 12 of those kids picked up shovels, walked over to there, and in 30 minutes, we had an 8-inch deep trench dug with the conduit set and put in place. So it was absolutely an amazing thing to watch. You know, in a lot of ways, the week was all about building foundations, and God's helping us set a foundation. And with God's help, we laid a foundation for this new residence building. And it'll be fun to see that in future years. There's a team from Menlo this week putting up the framing on that building. With God's help, we laid the foundation for the members of the team to better understand their personal relationships with Jesus Christ. One of the things that both Karen and Bruce did during the week was share their testimonies around the campfire at night. And the impact that had on folks was foundation laying, and something that will go on for a long time. In addition to that, with God's help, we laid the foundation for 60 or so kids who, while they had led tough lives, were nothing but smiling and happy and handing out hugs. You haven't lived until you have a little boy hand you his candy that he scraped up from the ground from the pinata that he knows he wants to keep, and that's his. Have him hand you and trust you to hold that for him while he then roasts a marshmallow for us some more. Okay? A fun experience. With God's help, we also laid the foundation for an organization to continue its ministry. Bill and Kay are 71 years old. They've been doing this for 30 years. They're now thinking about transition and how things continue after they're not there. And one of the things that made him smile during the week was seeing next generations get the vision and get the glimpse and the foundation that has been laid by him. And then lastly, with God's help, we laid the foundation for future teams to go to Santa Marta and to be a part of this. And I'm not going to let Art and Nancy out of next year. I'm telling you, the pruning team was lost. I was up there one afternoon, and it was ugly. You have to go next year to supervise those trees. So, anyway, thank you very much.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning knowing that you are our great and glorious Lord. We bow in awe to your power and love, and we thank you for your concern and care for us. We thank you for the safe return of our Rancho Santa Marta mission team, and we ask that you continue to work through them as they share their experiences with us and others. We also ask that you continue to be faithful to the children and staff of Santa Marta, providing them with their spiritual and physical needs. We thank you for how the Santa Marta trip also touched the lives of each of us who couldn't actually go to Mexico. As we supported and prayed for the team, we also gained a new understanding of spreading your love in the world. We ask that you keep sending us opportunities to further your kingdom. We give you thanks and praise for the work of the Worship Director Search Committee and their successful conclusion. Bless the union between Barbara and this congregation, that all we do together is to your glory. We thank you for the Ash Wednesday service last week as Lent began that reminded us of your sacrifice for us. We are reminded that Lent is a season of preparation. As we prepare our hearts for Easter, we also ask that you be with the preparation and planning of all the ministries of this church. Guide all who plan our ongoing ministries of education, music, service, fellowship, and worship. Bless the Women's Retreat leadership team and Speaker Patty Pierce as they continue to plan together. Bless Russ Akeda as he leads us in the Wednesday night Lenten series. Inspire him in his teaching and prepare our hearts to hear his message. Inspire and enthuse those who plan our Lenten worship events, the Messiah Sing, the Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday services, the prayer vigil, and our Easter morning celebrations up on the hill at sunrise and here in the sanctuary. Prepare the hearts of all who will come that they will be touched by your love. In all we do, as we seek to serve, keep us firmly focused on you. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray together as our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
John 13:12-17. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very, very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.
Good morning. So I did a lot of different things in Mexico, but the most important thing I did was helping with the children. I would play on the playground with them and play soccer and do crafts, and I felt like I connected with like all of the children there. I met a little girl named Daniela who was 5 years old, and she really touched the hearts of everyone she met. She was so happy and joyful, and I learned in the past she had gone through many hardships, but now you couldn't tell that she had gone through any. One of the examples of her joy was when I pushed her on the swing, I would remember the verse, like, Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and I was, like, serving her. But then she would jump off the swing and tell me that I should get on the swing, and she would push me instead. And and I thought instead of me serving her, she was actually serving me, and she was helping me and teaching me. And even though she was only a third of my age, she had so much joy and so much life. And I also met another girl who was 19 years old. Her name was Adi, and she was almost going to graduate in June, and she was going to go live with her family, who she hasn't seen in who knows how long. And she really taught me to be thankful for what I have, because I have my family, and I'm like blessed. But being in Mexico taught me so many things. Like, it taught me to be compassionate and to be less materialistic, because those kids there, they don't have like anything. They don't have any cell phones. They don't have Facebook. They don't have any email. But still, they're so much more happy than a lot of people I see here. So, yeah. Thank you.
Hi. So, going to Mexico, I knew I don't speak Spanish at all. At school, I take sign language. And so I knew talking to the kids would be, like, a huge problem. But Heather, who went on the trip with me, she was pretty much my translator. She would go down to the basketball courts with me every day at around 3, and the boys would all come out, and we'd all play basketball. And I remember on the first day, it was when we just started, and we did, like, a pickup game. And so we mixed all the teams together, and then we started playing, and I guess I'm so-called good at basketball. And so they get mad, and they'd scream out Verde, or whatever green is in Spanish, and they'd be like, Verde, Verde, and they'd point at me, and I'm like, whoa. And then Heather or Chelsea or someone came up to me, like, they're talking about you, and I'm like, oh, interesting. And then one of the boys, Octavio, came up to me, and he's like, ¿Cómo te llama? Which I guess is, what's your name? And I said, Jordan. And he pointed, he's like, Jordan! And I'm like, that's Jordan! And I'm like, oh, okay. It was kind of awkward. And and then I guess they didn't want me to get the ball anymore, so I couldn't shoot. And so I got the ball once, and they all came and, like, circled around me and, like, tried to take the ball as I'm hugging it. And they're, like, grabbing, like, back off. And then another time, Octavio literally rammed me into the ground. I had the ball, and he comes like a bull, goes bam, right into Jordan. And they're like, ow. But playing with the boys was so much fun. Are dirty. But Jonathan was down there too, and we were the ones that would play basketball with him, and Sarah played. That was so much fun. Sarah's the best basketball player out there. And sometimes the little kids would come out, like the little boys and girls would come and they'd try to play, and they would play, and then there's just something wrong with trying to take a ball from a little six-year-old. So we'd let them shoot, and they'd miss, and we'd give it back, and they'd shoot, and they'd miss, and then eventually they'd make it, and we'd be like, yay! And and then sometimes when Heather was down there, we'd play soccer with them, and that's when I would embarrass myself because I don't play soccer, and she does, and I scored about 3 times for the other team on myself. I was like, oh, no. This is so bad. And I was like, well, so we were there to do Lost and Foundation, which was the cement stuff. And I'm about as weak as a twig. So that didn't work. So I figured if I played basketball, something I'm good at, I could help them and interact with them. And that's how I saw God on that trip, was me and the kids, like, being together and playing basketball. And it was really cool, and I had so much fun. And I usually, like, I'm not the kind of kid who does arts and crafts and stuff. But on the way back, I had so much fun in Mexico. I made a little bracelet, and there's a heart, Mexico, and a heart. So I'd never forget this trip because it was so fun. Thanks, guys.
I don't think I can top that. She must take after her mom and her dad. Oh, you don't? Oh, okay. Anyway, I've never been to Mexico. I haven't traveled a lot, and I've never been on a mission trip, so I'm going to start at the beginning. In the beginning, there was darkness. It covered the... Oh, sorry. Kim only gave me 3 minutes, so I'll fast forward a few chapters. back in, I believe it was December, we had a strategic congregational meeting in McCaddy Hall, and I had the misfortune, honor, dubious duty, I guess, to sit across the table from Tim Engelman. Tim said, "Do you know anything about Rancho Santa Marta?" And I said, "No, what's that? I remember something about it last year, a mission trip or something." He goes, "Well, yeah, we're going again, and you're going to go." Now, remember who Tim is married to. He sleeps with a pastor. I didn't want to be the subject of any bedtime discussions. He also is a trained psychologist. I didn't want any follow-up appointments. So I said, "I'll think about it." I believe in January, I happened to see him after church or some other occasion, and he said, well, he asked, "Have you thought any more about Santa Marta?" And I said, "Not really, but I'll have to check my schedule." And he goes, "Well, you're going." You know, it's funny how God works in our lives. I prayed about it, and I thought about it, and I said, you know, there must be a reason this guy keeps pestering me. I saw him again, and I said, sure, I'll go. And I went to the first meeting, and I have to admit, I was a little bit reluctant or trepidating about it, but I thought, you know, this is an opportunity. I've never been to Mexico. I don't know anything about the culture. I don't, other than what I studied a little bit in school, as probably a lot of you did. I didn't know Spanish. One of the earlier bulletins that we received said we will do church service on Sunday with the whole ranch people, the staff and the kids. And it's all in Spanish, so you probably won't understand much of what's going on, but just try to enjoy it anyway. The first, Sunday night we had a devotion after dinner, and I was to give my devotion, and I talked about a little bit about this church service, and my reflection on it was that you may think that these people are poverty-stricken, that don't have very much, that life is tough and life is simple. And all of those things are kind of true. Obviously, they don't have as much as we do. They rely on churches to do the buildings. They rely on the good generosity of not only the Mexican people, but also a lot of American people to do their buildings, to support them financially. And it's pretty eye-opening. When I was at that service, those people really know God. They really feel Him in virtually everything they do every day. It's a honor. It was an honor to be in that service with them. And it was an honor to tell Tim yes. And I hope to this day, I'm still not a conversation of their evening. I wrote down a few notes. When Jesus asked the disciples to wash each other's feet after he had gone, it not only told them what he had done for them, but it also is a reminder of what he has done for us. I didn't wash anybody's feet. Unfortunately, I wasn't on the Gatorade cleansing of Greg. But I know that serving in Rancho Santa Marta was really a privilege that I will never forget. I hope I get the opportunity to go again. And if Tim asks me, I'll say yes. Thank you.
This week was amazing. I had the amazing opportunity to see people shine in ways that I could never have expected. As being on the leadership portion of it, there were things that that needed to happen, and people stepped up and they just did it. I saw God's love just like shine through people, and it was amazing. It was truly inspiring, and it was I just feel so blessed to have the opportunity to go and serve at Rancho Santa Marta, but also to have the opportunity to serve with an amazing team of people who just continually blew me away. I just was so blessed to see the transformation in so many people's lives. And I really just hope that I have the opportunity to serve with these people again. I know that, well, this is an experience that we will take away from here and hopefully be able to continue to show God's love and watch these people shine even here. We are back in the mission field here. There's work to be done here. So I just feel just incredibly blessed. So thank you, mission team, and thank you for all those back here who supported us with your prayers, with your donations, with your time. It was just a honor. And so thank you so much, all of you.
I was just thinking today, as I was listening to the students share, about what they had to give up to come on this trip. Almost all of them had to give up a day of school, which really bothered them. But they also gave up solos and musicals. They gave up a spot on their baseball team. And they gave up vacation. And in Romans, Paul says for us to offer our bodies up as a sacrifice. And that offering, that sacrifice, is our spiritual act of worship. And this week, I just saw the students give up. And they gave up to pick up work and to sacrifice themselves. And I'm just so proud of how they honor God in that, and how they kind of teach all of us, how they taught me what it truly means to worship God. So thank you.
Just going to say a couple sentences. When I looked 20 minutes ago, realized it was 10:30, I couldn't believe it. I'm sorry that we went over, but I want you to sense the momentum here, the joy here, the feeling that we did something that mattered here. That's what the Christian life is meant to be about. So let's continue in this vein. Let's recognize that we are the body of Christ. You're not here by accident. God uses us all in our varied gifts and abilities, and the Christian life is exciting, filled with joy when we work together to do what God is calling us to do. We are called for a purpose. You are here for a purpose. And we recognized that last week. Let's recognize it right here in Cupertino, California, in the days and weeks ahead. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.